Welcome to Wine About History. I'm your host, Max Hamill. And today, we're talking about 1917, the movie. Well, really, what we're talking about is the events surrounding it and the actual real-world history that inspired the film. While we're talking about it, we're going to be drinking Besieged, a 2014-year-old limited-release blend. And it's a mixture of Syrah, Carignan, Zinfandel, more Syrah, Alicante Bouchette, Barbera Mourvèdre. And it has an interesting taste. It is dark. I love dark blends. And it definitely tastes cherry, plum, and some other interesting flavors that I do not know the names of. So, would I recommend it? Yes. So 1917, for those of you who haven't seen, is a World War I movie. I saw it recently. And in my opinion, it is the best World War I movie. Now, it's not the best movie that has World War I as a concept or World War I as a background. For instance, Lawrence of Arabia, the biopic, deals with World War I, but not in the same way. 1917 expresses the war itself, better than Lawrence of Arabia. Whereas Lawrence of Arabia focused on Lawrence, not necessarily the war, but it does represent that field, that operation, fighting the Ottoman Turks, quite well. Now, what it was really called by the Germans was Operation Albrecht. For those of you who haven't seen the movie, I encourage you, go see it. It is fantastic. And the premise of the movie, and you see it right away, is two runners have to go and alert British soldiers, they're British soldiers themselves, that there's a giant German trap. And we're going to talk about it today, now. Like I said, I don't want to say any more about the movie. Just go see it. It's fantastic. So what happened was, the British had captured the French town of Thilloys and Ilz, and the British troops were assaulting tired and poorly defended German soldiers. They were so tired, these Germans, that they wanted to withdraw or even surrender, which is deeply unlike German character. These men were bred and born and trained to defend the German people and honor to the death. Many of them had genuinely no fear of death at all, as long as they died in combat for the Kaiser. Now, what had happened was, the Germans pulled back on February 9th, 1917, and they destroyed everything they could in the process. What they were doing was they were abandoning the poorly defendable first line of defense, their trenches, and pulling back to a contingency trench that was better defended. They poisoned the wells. They destroyed roads and railways. They booby-trapped everything they could. And in effect, they performed scorch earth warfare, which is exactly that. You don't leave anything for the enemy. And the Germans also marched 125,000 French civilians past the Hindenburg Line, which was that line I was just talking about, more defendable trench. The Germans called it the Siegfried Line. But they marched these civilians back there to work on it and be part of their war effort, and they left all those who could not work, you know, women, children, older folk, with little to no food or water. Now, the French general, I'm going to try and pronounce this word correctly, Esperey, wanted to attack the German position while they retreated. But Robert Neville, the commander for the French armies, argued caution. As a result, the French only captured the abandoned positions. Now, the Hindenburg Line was an impressive defensive structure. They had pillboxes, which are concrete rooms for machine guns. Deep defenses that are buried in and hard to get to. They was also camouflaged. It was reinforced in every way they could think of. It was very, very strong, especially in the northern part of it. It was an absolute horror to attack. And as a result of this, they didn't want to attack it. The Allies were very, very smart in not attacking it. And it was the famous 100 days offensive that eventually broke the line. So Australian, British, French, and American, they attacked the line. And it started with a 56-hour bombardment. They used 1,637 artillery guns along a 10,000-yard front. And in just in the last 24 hours, the British fired, and this, I believe this is still a record, 945,052 shells. And they eventually captured the St. Quentin Canal in a creeping barrage, which is when you have a slow barrage that slowly marches forward as cover for your troops. And then they fired 126 shells for every 500 yards of German territory over an era period. It took them all of that to capture and breach part of the Hindenburg Line, the southernmost part, on September 29th. And that is the beginning and middle and end surrounding 1917 and its story. And it's absolutely fascinating. And we're going to cover the latter half of the World War I in coming episodes. Now, this is our first mini episode. I hope you enjoyed it. And I hope you can't wait to hear more about World War I. And we'll see you in the next episode. Remember, without history, you wouldn't be here.